الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى. So we praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى that He has allowed us to sit together, go through ilm al-shar'i, Islamic knowledge, even though that we're far away, just me and, but yet still we have the wasa'il that we can still study together, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, studying the kalam of Ahlul Ilm, the works of the scholars, in aiding us in understanding the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, we finished al-Bayquniyya with the explanation of Ahlul Ilm from the Usul of Hadith. Usul of Hadith, yani the Ilm of Hadith, the science of Hadith. And it is pertinent that we should, insha'Allah ta'ala, concentrate on another affair from the usul, and that is the usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh. And you can say this is connected more to diraya, as we studied the ilm al-hadith, that was connected to the riwaya, the narrations, and the people in the chain of narrations, and it being correctly attributed or ascribed the narrations to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-riwaya. And this is a diraya, this is connected to diraya, this usul of fiqh. This usul of fiqh is connected to diraya. And from the mutun of usul of fiqh, that the ulama, yani diraya meaning understanding the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after we've established its authenticity, we need some tools in order to understand the fiqh and understand rulings, etc., as it relates to that authentic narration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been ascertained through al-riwaya, through looking at the chain and the narrations. And that is the usul al-fiqh. And from the matun and texts and so forth that the ulama have been teaching throughout the years is al-waraqat. Fi usul al-fiqh, al-waraqat. And that is this method that we're going to do bi'idhnillahi ta'ala in the next few weeks. And that's the method of usul al-fiqh, for usul al-fiqh al-waraqat. And the mu'allif, the author of this method, is Abu al-Ma'ali Abdul Malik Ibn Abdullah Ibn Yusuf al-Juwayn. That's Abdul Malik Ibn Abdullah Ibn Yusuf al-Juwayni. And he is known, the mu'allif is known, the author is known as Imam al-Haramain, the Imam of the two, Mecca and Medina, Haramain, Imam al-Haramain. He's known as this. This is a laqab, this is a nickname that was given to al-Juwayni, rahimullahu ta'ala. And the reason behind this laqab, Imam al-Haramain, is because for a period of 4 years, Arba Sanawat, he stayed in Mecca and Medina. That is, it said this is the reason why he's called Imam al-Haramain. Because he stayed in Mecca and Medina, giving fatawa, rulings and so forth, in both Mecca and Medina. Now, so that's why he's known as Imam al-Haramain. And he was born in the year 419 Hijri, after the migration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he had many shuyukh. He studied in takhassus. His main takhassus was in fiqh and its usul and so forth. And he died in the year 478 Hijri. He died in the year 478 Hijri. Now, so he was about 69 or so years old, or 59 or so years old, rahmatullahi alayh. It is well known that his aqidah, that is al-Juwayni, his aqidah was the aqidah of the Asha'ira. He was from those who had the aqidah of the Asha'ira. And this was well known. And which is why we find a lot of the Ash'aris quoting him and so forth, rahimullah. Lakin, as some of the Ahl al-Ilm have mentioned, he made Tawbah. He recanted. Someone said that he recanted, he made Tawbah on majority of his akhtar and his mistakes as it relates to Asma'u Sifat and Ilmu Kalam and so forth. And others have said that he took all of it back. Some say he took some, most. Some say he took all of it back. But he did make some Tawbah. And this Tawbah is documented, that he made Tawbah regarding his Aqidah. And from his statements, which is known, Al-Mashhur, Aqwaluhu Al-Mashhura, Qawluhu, Ishhadu Alayya Qad Raja'tu An Kulli Maqalatin Tukhalif As-Sunnah Wa Anni Amutu Ala Ma Yamutu Alayhi Ajaizun Naysabur. Where he said, testify, bear witness, that I take back all of that which, for my statements, oppose the sunnah. I take it back. Wa anni amut, and I die upon that which the elders, the old individuals, the elderly of Naysabur, they died upon. And what does he mean by the elderly in Naysabur died upon? Upon the fitrah. Upon the natural disposition, and that is believing in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed in totality, bidun al-ilm wa kalam wa ta'wil, na'am, explaining it to other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained it. Basic fitrah upon the tawheed. He said, ana amutu ala mam yamutu alayhi ajaiz al-naysabur. This is something which is well known and documented that he said this. It is well known and is documented that he said this. And he warned people from indulging in ilm al-kalam as well. Al-Imam al-Mu'allimi, from the ulama mujaddideen, or from Yemen, rahmatullahi alayhi muhaddith, he said, فَتَدَبَّرْ كَلَامُ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ يعني أبو المعالي يعني الجويني. Reflects upon the statement of this individual. يَتَّضِحْ لَكَ مِنْهُ أُمُورٌ, that some affairs will become clear to you regarding his statement here, that he dies upon the way that the people of the elderly of Naysabur, the simple elderly individuals of Naysabur, died upon. أولاً حسن ثقته بصحة اعتقاد أجائز وبأنه مقتضى للنجاح, and that is that he has is sure of the correct belief of the elderly, those simple individuals that have not been polluted by ilmu kalam and the falsafa of Yanun, the Greek philosophy, haven't been polluted by that, which occurred during the time of Ajwaini rahimullah. He has affirmed the correctness of their i'tiqad. And aidan suqut, number two, suqutu thiqatihi bima yukhalifu thalika min qada'ya an-nadhr المتعمق فيه وجزمه بأن الاعتقاد تلك القضايا مقتد للويل والهلاك. And that, in general, he, number two, is affirming that he doesn't trust that which he was upon from the affairs which in it في تعمق philosophy and rhetoric. And also he firmly affirms by this statement that the belief and having this type of creed would lead one to despair and destruction, and they will perish. Naam. Number 3, أنه مع ذلك يرى أن حاله دون حال الأجائز لأنهن بقين على الفطرة. So he knew, rahimahullah, that he was not upon the state of the elderly individuals, those simple people who just love Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because these individuals were upon fitrah. They were upon the natural disposition. They were upon tawheed. Yeah, late. If only those who oppose the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and oppose the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah, the aqeedah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, if only they went back to the fitrah, the way of the ajais, those people were not being polluted with philosophy and so forth. So from this mu'allim, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, in a tankil, the explanation as it relates to this, to show the tawbah and the repentance of Abdul Malik ibn Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Juwayni, ya'ni Imam al-Haramayn. And he is the mu'allif, he is the author of this well-renowned and accepted explanation, principles, as it relates to usul al-fiqh. And there are some contestable affairs in the matan, in the text, that, you know, ulama have done istidrak and have corrected. And when, inshallah ta'ala, we go through these, we mention the istidrakat, the correction of some of the ulama as it relates to his text and what he has mentioned. But generally, it's considered and used as a benchmark for the student that is beginning and learning usul al-fiqh, for him to concentrate on in order to aspire in the area of usul, in the area of al-usul. So we're going to deal with the sharh, inshallah, using the sharh of al-alama Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, and also Hafidh al-Hakimi rahimullah ta'ala, and likewise we use some of other books from Ahl al-Ilm as and when required, as it relates to certain mawadi wal masail and certain issues that are related to the matan, inshallah ta'ala, wa billahi tawfiq. So, usul al-fiqh. We're going to deal with a few points as it relates to this affair. And that is this, the sharh of al-waraqat. The sharh of al-waraqat. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-alama, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, this imam, he said, regarding this ma'na usul al-fiqh, the meaning of usul al-fiqh. Why? Because, ya ikhwati al-kiram, when an individual, ulama have mentioned regarding usul al-fiqh, that there's mabadi al-ashara, there's 10 highlighting things that we have to concentrate on as it relates to the understanding, general introduction, rise of usul al-fiqh. And that's why some of them have said, إِنَّ مَبَادِي كُلِّ فَنٍ عَشَرَةٍ أَلْحَدُّ وَالْمَوْضُعُ ثُمَّ الثَّمَرَةٍ وَفَضْلُهُ وَنِسْبَتُهُ وَالْوَاضِعُ وَالْإِسْمُ الْمُسْتَمَدُّ حُكْمُ الشَّارِعُ فَمَا سَائِلُ وَالْبَعْضُ بِبَعْضِ الْكْتَفَى وَمَنْ دَرَى الْجَمِيعِ هَذَا الشَّرَفَى. And that is basically, there are 10 different aspects that the Talib al-Ilm has to know as it relates to every type of science. And particularly here, the science of usul al-fiqh. And that is that we must know the definition of usul al-fiqh, number one. And secondly, we must know the topic of usul al-fiqh. As for the definition of usul al-fiqh, we'll get to that, inshallah ta'ala, as relates to the matan, the text of al-Juwayni, rahimullah. So that's number one, we must know the had. Number one, we must know the had. And that is the definition of usul al-fiqh. We have to know this. Like we had to know the had, or the definition of ilmu hadith. And we have to know the had and the definition of usul al-tafsir. We have to know the had and the definition of funoon. And this will give us an understanding of that which it entails. Number two, al-mawdu'. And that is the topic. What is it about? What is the juice?
What is the main topic of al-usul al-fiqh, for example? وهو بيان طرق الاستنباط. And that is clarifying the way to extrapolate, to bring out rulings. This is the topic of usul al-fiqh. And number three is al-fa'idah. يعني ثم الثمرة, as he mentions in the poetry here. الحد والموضوع ثم الثمرة. الثمرة يعني الفائدة. The fruits. What is the fruits of studying this usul al-fiqh? Why are we doing it? And that is العلم بأحكام الشرعية. على الدواء القواعد والضوابط. And that is that we are learning, inshallah, the knowledge of the rulings, of the legislation, the ahkam. How we use these ahkam, how we understand these ahkam. That's a faida, that's a benefit from the benefits of studying usul al-fiqh. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, إِنَّ الْمَقْصُودَ مِنْ أُصُولِ الْفِقْهِ أَنْ يُفَقِّهُ الدَّارِسُ مُرَادَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi said that from the intent of studying usul al-fiqh, that's Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, verily the intent of studying usul al-fiqh is that the student, that the one is student, is to understand the intent of Allah and His Messenger in the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the fa'ida. We study usul al-fiqh so we understand what is meant, what Allah intends, according to the Quran and Sunnah, and the understanding of the Salaf. Is this wajib? Is it obligatory? Is it mustahab? Is it sahih? Is it valid? Is it batil? Is it invalid from the Book of Allah? Is Allah saying it's batil? Is Allah saying it's invalid? Is Allah saying it's correct? Is Allah saying it's obligatory, wajib? Is Allah saying it's mustahab? Is Allah saying it's makruh, it's disliked? Yani, studying usul al-fiqh will give us the faida here, ya ikhwati al-kiram wa akhawat, to understand the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the murad of Rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi sunnah. It's a faida azima. Na'am. And it's connected to the Book of Allah and connected to the sunnah. So we study usul al-fiqh with the sunnah. Being connected to the sunnah, and we don't leave that. So that's the fa'ida, number three. Number four, al-fadlu. As said, al-haddu wal-mawdu'u thumma thamara wa fadluhu. And its virtue, number four, the virtues of usul al-fiqh. Yani huwa ashraf min ghayrihi, bi'tibari al-fa'ida. Yani as it relates to the benefit that you get from usul al-fiqh, some of the ulama have said it's better than other sciences, because you're understanding the murad of Allah, the intent of Allah, what Allah means, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intends in the sunnah. So with this, it shows the virtue of usul al-fiqh in itself. As some of them have said, هو من أعظام العلوم الشرعية وأجلها قدرا وأكثرها فائدة. He said that it is from the most lofty of the sciences of the legislation of the deen. وأجلها, most loftiest قدرة, قدرة in as it relates to its station. وأكثرها فائدة, and it has the most benefit. يا إخوتي الكرام, which is why we must connect this usul al-fiqh to tawheed, connect it to aqidah, because it's all inclusive. Like when we study ilm al-hadith, we connect it to aqidah. It must go in accordance to aqidah, because there is no contradictions. Ya barakallahu fikum. Because the usul of fiqh is extrapolated from the Book of Allah and the sunnah of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it should not oppose the aqidah that the Messenger came with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, it hasn't been taken from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there's no contradiction here in the deen of al-Islam or in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the Quran. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it was from other than Allah, you see in it a lot of contradictions. So the one who takes usul al-fiqh from the book of Allah and takes usul al-fiqh from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not oppose the aqeedah of the Salaf. But the moment that one introduces ilmu kalam, rhetoric, as Juwayni nafsuhu, he said, stay away from kalam. When one introduces the philosophy of the Yanun, the Greek, or Aristotle, or Ibn Sina and the rest of them, introduces all of these philosophies into the ilm of usul al-fiqh, you're there. You'll be lost and fall into negating Allah's names and His attributes and all the rest, as when we study bi-ithnillah, the heart of this matan, we'll see inshallah bi-ithni Rabbil Arshil Azim some of the importance as it relates to the aqeedah of the Salaf. So who are Ashraf min Ghayri? Number 5, Nisbatu. Or should we say Al-Istimdadu? Yani, where is it taken from? Which we mentioned before, and that is in the Book of Allah. And that is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, number 6 is that its other sciences are in need of it. Other sciences are in need of this, usul al-fiqh. Number 7, al-wadi'. Who's the one who made this or put this science of usul al-fiqh as a science in itself? Yani, even though, ya ikhwati al-kiram, we know that usul al-fiqh is taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'anhum, they heard the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, faqihu. They understood. They took it from the Messenger. Because of their immense and intense understanding of the Arabic language and the fiqh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the man yuridillahu bihi khayran, yufaqihu fi ddeen. Whoever Allah wants good for, He gives them fiqh of the deen. And Allah wanted good for all of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they had fiqh of the deen. And likewise those who followed them. But as years went by, the lughah and the Arabic language, and as it relates to the people, became weak and the understanding became weak. So the ulama and the defenders of the deen, they went into the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and the sunnah. The Quran and the sunnah, they went, did tatabbu' and extrapolated principles taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam until it became a science, mustaqilla. And that is al-wadi', the one who did this was awwal man sannafa fihi is Imam al-Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris rahmatullahi alayhi, the Imam al-Shafi'i, who died in the year 204. Naam, he's the one who made it into a science. As for affairs wajib, makruh, in different instances and books and being mentioned, na'am. But to make it into one tasneef, as we mentioned regarding ilm al-hadith, ramahum ruzi for the ilm of hadith, likewise for usul al-fiqh, Imam al-Shafi'i rahmullahi ta'ala, rahimullah, he was the first to turn this or make this into a book, rahmatullah alayhi, na'am. And the masail is number 8. The issues that is dealt with here. And that is that it aids the mujtahid. وَيَسْتَرْشِدْ بِهَا. The mujtahid, the one who has makes rulings and derives, the scholar. These, they're the ones who are use this usul al-fiqh in order to extrapolate. In order to extrapolate and make ijtihad. Na'am. Using the qawaid and the principles of usul al-fiqh in order to deal with some of the masail for the people, for them to understand the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 9, al-ism. The name. And as we know, it's ilmu usul al-fiqh. The foundations, the knowledge of the foundations of fiqh. And we're going to go into detail, bi-idhnillah, as it relates to this definition afterwards, bi-idhnillah. And number 10, al-hukmu, the ruling of knowing this. The hukmu shari, the legislative ruling as it relates to having this knowledge and studying this knowledge. And when we talk about this, al-hukm, meaning is it obligatory? Is it preferred? Is it wujub al-ayni? Is it obligatory upon every individual? Or wujub al-kafa'i? Or it's obligatory upon some, at least one or few of the individuals in order for that obligation to be lifted from others? Some of the ulama have said it's wujub al-ayni. Is wujub al-ayni ala kulli man lahu qudra ala tawasuli ila ma'rifati al-ahkam bin nadri wal istidlal. It is ayni, it is obligatory upon every individual who has the ability to attain the knowledge of the legislation by looking at the proofs and evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah. If they have this ability, it's obligatory to them for to do usul al-fiqh in order to do the extrapolation properly, to extract the rulings properly and correctly as it relates to the iftah and fatwa and so forth. So here this is wujub al-ayni. It's obligatory upon these individuals one by one. And once these individuals, barakallahu fikum, are dealing with this responsibility, then it's kafa'i, then it's not obligatory upon everyone else. But if the individual wants to study it and study usul al-fiqh, then it is not obligatory upon them, but alhamdulillah, they can yastafid and benefit. Now, so this is what we need to know, ikhwati karam, as it relates to the muqaddimah of usul al-fiqh, as we read the muqaddimah of al-waraqat. Now we're going to deal with some of the issues here that the alama he mentions in the text. Do we have time? You have 15 minutes, Dave. Do you want to stop now and we continue next week, inshallah? Ala kayfikum antum. Ta'arif. Khalina nabda ta'arif fi asbuul qadim, inshallah. Okay, so inshallah ta'ala, we continue with the definition of usul and the definition of fiqh and the difference between usul of fiqh and qa'ida fiqhiyya and the difference between usul of fiqh and fiqh bi'ithnillah and al-wajib, dealing with the hukum al-wajib next week bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. So if any of the brothers want to read, they can read the explanation of Shaykh al-Alam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. Or look at the explanation of Salamukum Allah, Hafidh al-Hakimi, Rahimullah Ta'ala, beautiful explanation. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to benefit from these lessons insha'Allah, and to act upon it, and to increase us in iman. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Fadhan.